was like,
In September, yeah. Well, Chris is going, George is going. I need to know your meal. Is it the steak? Huh, for the scat. It's September 1st. Are you going to get steak or salmon? I don't know where it is. I can't remember. Do you want to go? It's legislative night. I can't be. Okay. What do you want? The state? Just you? September 1st. September 2nd. Whatever that Wednesday is.
We're all good. We're all good on Zoom.
Okay. I'll email. I'll text it to you. Huh?
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming out. If we can all stand for our opening prayer, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Stand for our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If everyone can remain standing, please. I'd like to just take a moment of silence and respect and to honor our former mayor, John Schwett. If you just allow me a few minutes. Inside. Thank you, everyone. Okay, the first item on the agenda is public hearing, Court of Appeals.
Yes, sir, Mayor. This evening, we hold our Court of Appeals as per the charter. We have the assessment list based off of the Sussex County assessment numbers. Mayor and Council adopted the assessment list from Sussex County last month, and these are the assessments that we utilize for our tax billing. So per the charter, we have to hold a court of appeals. If anybody has any questions or concerns about their assessment, they bring it to us, and then because it's the county's assessment, we then refer them to Sussex County. So you can leave this open for...
Yes, we can leave it open for a few minutes if anyone has any follow-up to what town manager Smith just said. Okay. All right. Next on the agenda, we have Ms. Sharon Ardisana, and the topic is audit.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, Town Management, fellow citizens. My name is Sharon Ardisana. I am a resident of the town of Laurel. What I have done is I have put together a letter expressing my concerns about the FY24 audit, the findings and the recommendations. And also, you need to look at the FY23 audit because that bleeds over into the next year. There are recommendations and findings in the year before that are very relevant to the next year's audit. So I have compiled my list of questions in a letter to the mayor and the members of the council. I would ask that this be entered into the public record. Is there a council member that will do a motion to enter this into the public record?
Do I have a motion?
When it's said and done, make a motion after she reads it.
When you get done,
make a motion.
That shouldn't really matter because something somebody doesn't agree with, then they might vote to not put it into the record. I'd rather do it up front if possible.
Can we have that right to vote the way we want? Do we have that right to vote the way we want?
Of course. Absolutely.
Of course. Because if I'm not going to get to see it, I'm not going to vote for it. I'll tell you that now.
Okay, we can vote
so
for
go
it.
So go ahead, you can introduce
it. We can vote for it at the end. So it's a long letter. I'm not going to put everybody in this room through reading the letter. I have maybe 10 copies. I will pass them around. They're expensive to make for this long. So if you're really not going to read it or you're not interested, please just pass it on and let somebody else have a copy. If you don't get a copy and you would like one, you can see me at the end of the meeting.
Can when you're done, can I have a copy too? So
sure.
We can have a...
Sure. Oops, did I give away my cover page? Sorry about that. There's a page that starts with my annual manual. I'm sorry, I haven't felt well today, so you have to have your brain. So nobody has the front page that's financial manager. It doesn't have the address to the mayor and the council. Without my nose, something's troubling. Nobody has that. That is unbelievable. Okay, well, I will try to do it from my head, but as I said, I'm not feeling well today, so it's not going to be good. I wanted to first discuss the timeline of events. Back in on September 19th of 2023, the auditors provided a letter to mayor and council. It did not go in as part of the audit package. It was a separate letter addressed to them. While it wasn't given to the public during the presentation in October, November, whenever that was, It was provided to mayor and council. That is public information. That is probably the most important part of the audit. The auditors work with the town to make sure the numbers all come out right. And in our case, that's been a huge effort, sometimes to the tune of $36 million in adjustments. So the numbers are overwhelming when you look at the report. However, the meat of the document is what problems or what deficiencies did they encounter? Because those are the things that need to be addressed for the next year. So being behind 2.5 years, you know, again, is one of those things we find out 2 years after the fact. But if you read the audits, you will find that the data being provided on a monthly basis was not being updated, so the town was running on inaccurate data. Not the least of which, the net position at the beginning of the year was misrepresented. So imagine if you had a checkbook and you started it out with the wrong balances, and you continue to make decisions based on what the balance is, or, you know, you think you have more money in there than you do, and you, you know, write a check that bounces. I mean, that's kind of what I equate it to. So a lot of these issues are very, very serious. And I really am concerned about the fact that that letter did not go out to the public, number one. Number two, in that letter, it specifically said that there needed to be improvement and oversight, okay, from the town manager to the council members and the mayor, across the board. I came along in April and met with the mayor about my concerns that nobody was looking over the financial reports, okay? And I met with him privately, hoping to resolve the issue. As again, you know the story, nothing happened. So on May 18th, I presented to the public what I had found. At that time, well, probably actually the month later, in June, when we had the June town council meeting, the mayor went over all of my concerns and basically made me look like a bad person because I was concerned about the town and the financial status. And I wish I had his quote in front of me. I will paraphrase that as long as workers are getting paid and the garbage is collected and the sewer's okay and the town is running, then the money's going where it needs to go. That is missing the whole point. That alarms me. To say that it's okay that we have all this inaccurate data that we're making decisions on is okay because everything's running. And number two, it is the responsibility of the council members to oversee financial data, financial information. That's part of their job. There may even be a legal requirement for them to do that. Maybe, I don't know. I understand there might be. So it's because it's a very serious matter. They are dealing with $8 million of taxpayers' money, okay? So if they're not putting it in the system and they're not, and 26 adjustments have to be made for $36 million, that is really not good. But that's okay, you know, we can fix things, right? But the problem is the mayor was aware of this oversight issue in September of 2023. I come along in April and May, and he's indignant and acts like he never even heard about it, okay? I have a copy of the letter if you want to see the letter and the date on it. So, you know, it's the fact that we don't do anything even though we know there are serious problems that really keeps me up at night. At the time I spoke in May, there was 8 months to correct issues. The other issue they found was the financial manager had all the duties assigned to her that should be segregated. Okay, when you have one person that has all the tasking, and what happens when something happens to that person? Well, we found out, didn't we? When, unfortunately, the financial manager passed away, There was nobody that could input data. There was nobody that could run a report for an auditor. And, you know, again, the town manager supervises that person. At the very least, they need to understand that person's job enough to step in and help if there is an emergency. So that was identified by the auditors. He said, that's a risk to this town to have one person that knows it all and does it all. Well, you know, I keep hearing that the reason we're 2.5 years behind is because of that incident. She passed away. It took us a while to get somebody else in. I went back and looked. We were 3.5 months without a financial manager. I thought we had been 9 months, 12 months without a manager. We were without one for 3.5 months. So, you know, again, had there not already been the failure of having one person know it all, do it all, you know, we might have been able to get through that period. And when the new manager started, we should be able to get on track. In any event, when the new manager starts, we should have been able to get back on track. But the audit indicates that these problems continued throughout the year. So I do believe all those findings, and there's more, and that 2023 letter is important for the public to understand. Another one I can recall is that they told him at that time, your system is way too complicated. You need to look at getting a new system. Okay? And in the 8 months that went by, or how, almost a year now, nobody, has anybody looked into a new system? I would say no. Correct? So, you know, it's the fact that all these recommendations and these serious problems are ignored. Nothing is done. Okay? Now, I've been getting up here for months, and quite frankly, it's not fun for me. And I'm to the point where, you know, I need either the town to understand the seriousness and call for action, or I need to stop wasting my breath. So that's kind of where I am. I would also say that, Mr. Mayor, you ran on change and transparency. I voted for you. I was all about change and transparency. I have seen no change since you've been here, quite the opposite. You know, I see you just agreeing with the bad practices that have even been identified to you by an auditor. You know, you talk about trust, okay? Trust is an earned thing. It's not going around and shaking hands, okay? Trust is an earned thing. And it's your actions, not your words, that matter. So I would invite you, Mr. Mayor, about 3 months ago, you said you were going to discuss your first year in office, and it never happened. I mean, I would invite you. I want to hear your point of view as to what you think you have accomplished in the over a year since you've been here, especially when it relates to change and transparency. Because every time I try to say we need to be more transparent, we need to be looking at things, you guys vote me down, with the exception of Councilman Ladotta. Why? Why do you not want to make things better? So, without my notes, that's probably all I can say. I will submit the letter, and if somebody wants to make a motion, does anybody have any questions for me? Okay. Uh-oh, here comes trouble.
Mr. Mayor, and Council, when you accept her motion to accept her letter, I'd like to amend it that she sit down with our financial person and go through it. Because her going through it here really isn't helping her. I'm not a CPA. No. I sat here and I went through a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But if it can be fixed, she has to fix it with the financial person. And then they can come back and tell us what happened. So can I, if she, when you accept her motion, would you accept that as an amendment?
Okay, I just would like to make it clear, I have met with Jamie on several occasions. I think meeting with Jamie is probably sufficient. You know, the purpose of this letter was to take all of that mathematical charts, garbage, and boil it down to, this is what the issues are. Okay, it can't get any simpler than that. When you read, it tells you what the impact is. Not just here's the numbers, here's what it does when you have these wrong numbers. So I've made it as simple as I possibly can, because I know, I look at that document and I get overwhelmed with all the numbers and the charts. So, but the important thing, like I said, is the findings and the recommendations. And if we are ignoring those year after year, things are just going to get worse. They are never going to get better. And I can't seem to get anybody to recognize, even though they're an auditor, they're documented by the auditor, that we have issues.
And then from my perspective, we've been trying to come every month again, be a little more faithful to attending so that we're engaged citizens in our community. So I've been listening to all of this and hearing different sides of it. And I think what it boils down to, and I even asked a question about the auditor when he was here, that we know that the 2024 audit showed what they call material items. And fairly so. You know, we have an accounting system that doesn't, that seems over over difficult for what our use is. We have numbers that don't balance. We have things in the wrong accounts in the budget. We have budgets that are being overspent without any documented process to get approvals. What should happen if you're going to go over budget should be the approval for council or someone else. We have, Sharon said, one of the concerns from the auditors was that there's no segregation of duties. Having worked in HR my entire career, I understand the segregations, like the person doing your payroll isn't the person that should be doing your monthly reporting and finances. There should be a separate person that's writing checks and signing checks versus somebody that's putting those numbers into your financials. And that was something that the auditors recommended, that there needed to be some changes. And I'm pretty sure they find that in every town they go to when they audit. That's their job, to find something. They wouldn't get paid if they didn't find something. But those are significant things, and I think fair things. And from my perspective, I think what I'm hearing from Sharon, but I can only speak for myself, what I would like to see is from that 2023 audit, that 2024 audit, while we're getting caught up with 2025, what's our response to that? And that has to come from council and from Jamie and the finance manager and so forth as to what are you going to do to address each of these issues? Because if they're not addressed, then we are open to liability. We're open to concerns. And you know, one of the things that was mentioned in this report was the fact that they recommended changes as to how we bank our money, because I don't know the details of that, but evidently we have all, if not a large sum, in one or two accounts, and they're not fully insured because, you know, the government only insures up to $250,000, and they made recommendations about sweep accounts, which I didn't know that what that was till I looked it up, which are having accounts that in, that are investment accounts, and each day they go in and they sweep funds and move them so that you have interest earned on those dollars. But right now, according to the auditors, we're sitting in a position where if the economy went belly up, which can happen just like that, where's that $5 million that we have in the bank, where's it going to go if we're not properly insured or have our money in accounts that are properly insured? So those are the things that the auditors have pointed out, and those are the things that myself, as a member of this community, want to see our council come back to us and say, here are those things that were in that audit report, both 23 and 24, and here's what we're going to do, or we are doing, or we have done, to make these corrections.
Thank you. Yes. One of my recommendations was a comprehensive plan, which is not unusual to do, which is exactly what Melody was talking about. You put the concern, who the responsible person is, the estimated date that it's going to be fixed, and then you can give statuses every month at the town council meetings as to the progress you're making on cleaning up these issues. So, you know, it's kind of a, it's exactly what you're saying. We need a comprehensive plan on how we're going to fix all these issues.
I was only when I looked at the F, it's a very good question, only when I looked at the FY23 audit in electronic copy, I said, where are the recommendations and findings? They were in the 24, okay? So I did what would be considered a FOIA request. I texted, I emailed James and said, are they in another document? Is there an attachment I didn't get? And that's when I got the separate letter. And if you remember, if you were here when the auditor presented, he did not mention any of the findings or the comments. And I do recall him giving them something that he said, that's for mayor and council. Okay? So that's not transparency to me. You know, and, you know, I would never have gotten it if I didn't know that backstory. I guess that's me.
And I'm thinking about, what kind of a time frame, because we're talking, how long is the mayor sitting in office? How old are you? Okay. What kind of a time frame, because when you're talking about audits and things, that is a lengthy thing. You said nothing has been done.
I can tell you for the financials, when I presented in May, when I met with the mayor on April 2nd, I said, Mr. Mayor, all we're getting in our monthly reports is here's some of the revenues. I said, per the charter, which is so old and so outdated, it doesn't know about computer systems and how easy it is to produce a budget versus actual report. So in the charter, it just says you must report all revenues. So reporting some revenues is not reporting all revenues. So that's where I started. And then when I met with the mayor and I said, do you get other reporting that we don't see on a monthly basis? The answer was no. So I think I have the floor. I don't know.
Excuse me, Mayor. May I speak after the young lady?
If you'll let me finish answering this one, please, I'll take your question. Is that fair?
I'm not asking a question of the mayor. I'm talking to the mayor council.
Okay.
Can I please finish?
Yeah finish yes. The question.
Please. Take your time.
That's my mouth. Anyway, so the answer was, they don't get any budget versus actuals. They're not looking at the financials at all. Top that with last month, when the auditor gave us the report, it was supposed to be accepted, but it was adopted in motion without even reading the audit. Why wouldn't you read a document before you accept the audit? And Councilman LaValle brought it up. I mean, this is when council just passes important documents through like this without even reading them, they're not doing their legal financial duty. Okay. So, is that an example?
Look, I'm just trying to catch up on that. So, given that we're talking about transparency, you had an issue with.
So they verify to me, they're not looking at anything on the financials. Nor even after knowing 8 months earlier that the auditor told them you must provide those. That makes it even worse.
But where are you getting information that they're not looking at? I don't know what happened.
I met with the mayor April 2nd, one-on-one at my house. I went over all my concerns, which included the vacant house ordinance not being followed and several things. And he said, I had opened his eyes to things. And I said, okay, well, I'd like to hear back from you. I said, because I would rather we resolve this without making one public.
And who is we?
He and I go back, he can go back to the council and say, we got these issues, let's look at them. Okay. I have been fine if they came back and said, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. That would have been great. That didn't happen. So a month later, I had presented to the public because I thought it was important enough that people should know. Not everybody has the time to look at this stuff, you know. So I took it upon myself because I do care about this town and I do care about the people in this town, contrary to some people's beliefs. And I've never said this is the worst time to live in. What I said was, we can go to the worst town. That's different, but you know. So I do it because I care. And I don't have anybody telling me, nobody has come back to me and said, you're wrong, Chair. Nobody has come back and said, because I base all my information on facts that I get through to you. I can produce anything I say in a document to back it up. It's not my interpretation on my own.
Excuse me, Sharon, for the sake of time, please.
Two of us acknowledged and started and said we will look into it. Yes, I do.
Ms. Fisher.
Ms. Fisher? Pardon me.
Yes. One
moment, Ms. Fisher. I'm sorry.
Well, I will pause to let her do whatever she's going to do, if that's what we need.
No, I don't want you to pause. I want to speak when you are completely finished your conversation, if you don't mind.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. So, Sharon, you will sit down with Melissa?
No, ma'am. I've been sitting with the town. Yes, thank you.
Quick question.
Sharon has a question, please.
Quick question. So did you give this information, which like Town Manager said, to our auditor to address
you told me last month to put everything in writing and run it through the town, and that's what I've done with this letter.
Okay, so
is
you
Is that
want-
what you directed me to do? Sir?
Pardon?
Isn't that what you directed me to do?
Well, if that's, isn't that what we're...
That's what we had agreed to, and then I would send them to the auditor.
I hear you bringing this back up to us, which is fine, but the last meeting, when we addressed this, we said we would, anyone that had the questions or things that you had, address it to the auditor. And then we'll go ahead and the auditor will talk with us.
Send them to the town, mm-hmm. any questions, right. And then I would send them to the auditor.
Well, send it to Jamie.
That's what I'm doing, sir, in this
letter. That was what it was supposed to be sent to. This was supposed to be sent to Jamie, right?
Huh?
Wasn't what you just did was supposed to be sent to Jamie to go to the auditor?
I think the clarification is when the auditor was here, there was specific questions about financial information. No, what she's questioning is the auditor said, here are my findings, and here are things you need to do as a town that need to be fixed. The question is, what are we doing to fix those? So it's not a question.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Ms. Fisher, hold on. Sharon, are you?
Well, wait a minute. Okay. Yeah. Well, I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is, okay, if these are questions about the audit stuff, okay, we have to be able to talk with our auditors to be able to see, you know, what needs to be done. So you're coming and addressing us like, oh, well, y'all ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been, the questions and stuff haven't been presented. And I know you present it now.
The findings from 2023, back in September, I talked to the mayor in particular about the financial concerns in April. They still were not getting any reports on financial information 8 months later. So I don't believe that issue was being addressed.
But I mean, I'm sorry and I'm grieved that our ex-mayor passed away. Did you talk to him before he passed away about this?
He was a very sick man. No,
I know, but he was the mayor. But he was the mayor.
He was not the mayor on September 19th, 2023, when the findings came out.
He was not the mayor?
He was not the mayor in 2023.
Who was the mayor? Who was the mayor?
He was the mayor. Because the report didn't come out till 2025. Yeah. Okay? That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
The report did not come out until 2025.
I'm leaving it alone.
He was not the mayor when the findings came through.
Thank you.
I'm leaving.
Thank you.
Let alone.
All right. Robin, go ahead.
Please, for the sake of time, we complete.
Hold it.
One moment.
There's no other questions?
No.
I would like to ask that my letter, as provided that I should do, put my comments on the audit in a letter and provide it to Jamie, and that she could get with the auditor and get back to me on these concerns. So I would like to have a motion to enter my letter into the
public. You don't make a motion, ma'am.
Not me.
I mean, I would like to ask for a motion to be made.
So
Councilman Ladada, I would like to make a motion.
You can't ask for a motion, ma'am.
Chris motioned it.
Chris motioned it.
Do I have a second?
What was the motion? I'm sorry.
Before you make the motion, may I speak, please? Before the motion is completed.
Go ahead, Ms. Fisher, please.
Thank you. I agree with some of your statements about and needing to have answers regarding audits. However, you have to give, if you're giving this letter and your questions to the appropriate persons, then as Councilman Kellum stated, and also I'm sure talking to Jamie and or the mayor, that these would be directed to the auditor and the finance director, who would then have conversation with council once they are completely addressed. And then your answers would be given to not just you, but publicly. And then your questions about persons not having clearance of what's going on could be addressed to everyone. But if your letter goes to the appropriate persons and you give them the opportunity to answer completely, because there are also issues that you don't understand as not being on council or part of the administration, and then allow them to answer them appropriately so that you can get the correct answer, and then they can be addressed.
I absolutely agree with you. And I will say, when we, you know, as the public, we walked in and got this 60-page document, and we were supposed to ask questions on the spot.
There were times that this information was given. Even when the budgets are developed, there's opportunities for persons to come and have that discussion with mayor and council. And most times that is not done. And then when the budgets are completed and then the audits come out, then there are all these questions after the fact. So if persons who are interested become involved with the council on an ongoing basis with assistance, then maybe some of these additional questions. Sometimes maybe you can volunteer for a committee to help along with the administration of council. Thank you.
I do not believe that this question that's being presented to us is about the audit. I believe, from what I'm hearing and understanding, it's about what the auditor said needed to be fixed in the town, and how are we as mayor, council, and town fixing these issues that were found in the audit? It's not the audit itself that's being questioned.
No one's questioning the audit. What she mentioned was the data inaccurate, mm-hmm. oversight improvements, banking procedures,
right?
Okay, things of that nature, and any corrections to the 23-24.
That's the way I
understand.
That's
exactly what she brought out.
Right.
And that's exactly what we'll address.
That's what I understand.
Okay.
There is currently a motion on the floor.
Yes, there is. Thank you.
Right.
To enter her letter into the public record.
Do I hear a second?
I would like to second that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Okay. The ayes have it.
And
and just, you know, this is just my opinion, final comment is, you know, having a workshop. Having a workshop would have been a really good idea, where we would have had time to read it, council would have had time to read the audit, and we would have come together to be able to ask questions and with the auditor here. None of us is going to ask the auditor questions that he needs to go back and look at the details of the chart. That's not what we're going to ask. We're going to ask about the findings and the problems. And we could have had a workshop and all worked through this together. That would have been my preference. But the council voted down, with the exception of Councilman Fusato, voted down having a workshop. And I just, you know, I don't understand that. So
thank you.
On that,
okay, thank you very much.
Does Jamie get my letter?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. All right. All right, next on the agenda, we have Susan and Ann, concerned neighboring property. Did I?
Yeah.
It's not in the unit. Oh, it's not in the unit.
They can
okay,
go.
It's all right.
Oh, I was going with the beta. Okay. Hello, your name, please?
Hi, my name's Ann Spicer.
Hi, Ann.
How are you?
Okay, thank you.
Pardon me, why?
Oh, no, I see you're a trooper.
I fiddle here a little bit. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to allow my voice to be heard this evening. But before I begin, I'd like to thank each of you for serving the community in your individual roles and on the council.
Thank you.
My name is Ann Spicer. I'm a co-owner of a piece of land of a property on West 6th Street. A person representing the community garden or Operation West Laurel / Mount Zion Church, is how I believe it's listed, stated to a fellow partner of ownership that there's a bamboo restriction within the city. I've reviewed several ordinances and I cannot find this to be true.
Is that what we adapted?
Mm-hmm.
A month ago.
Yes.
We talked about it.
Yes, we did.
Just a bit.
Okay, just a reading. We haven't passed it. Yes.
You haven't passed it. Okay. There was some bamboo on our property when we bought it, and yes, we did add to it. Bamboo at times can become a menace.
Mm-hmm.
It can become a topic of restriction within cities such as Rehoboth Beach. The menace of bamboo normally comes from poor owner management, improper care, lack of control. At that time, it is definitely a nuisance, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. One of our neighbors took it upon themselves to use a front end loader or some other form of agriculture equipment to cross property lines, plow over several trees, destroy a stair step terrace flower garden, eliminating hundreds of dollars worth of flowers and beauty. Destroying bamboo and causing land erosion by doing all this. We as seniors had to try to correct this by doing as much as possible, unfortunately, by hand. The erosion on our property continues to be a bit of a problem during storms in particular. However, we are continuing to work on this. I truly worry if we had a prolonged storm. I believe it was the director of Operation West Laurel Community Garden reported they would buy arborvitaes and leave them on our property so we could plant them where they destroyed our land and plantings. Does this seem fair? I don't think so. I'm informing you of all these events because grant money has been used for the benefit of the community garden and destruction of our property without resolution. It seems just point blank, unfair, unjust, that grant money provided and funded by this community and the state of Delaware is being used in this manner. Do we, as humans, taxpayers, disagree with the goals and objectives of Operation West Laurel? Absolutely not. reducing gun violence and saving our children from this horrible destruction should be everyone's goal in this entire community, state, and country. As a retired nurse who spent many decades working in trauma rooms, I have seen holes in people and more destruction of families and loved ones than you could possibly imagine. So do I believe in the founding direction of Al that started this? Unconditionally, we stand in support of decreasing gun violence. We stand in support of active prayer for the community. We stand in support of an open community garden for assistance, help, and welfare of individuals to provide fresh produce for themselves. But since Bamboo originally brought me here this evening, let me give you some benefits of bamboo on land. Bamboo are the fastest growing plants on the face of the earth. With Evan's 7 years of being planted, bamboo can remove 2 tons of CO2 compared to a pine tree. That's 5 times more efficient. Although every tree has its own CO2 absorption rate, bamboo is one of the highest. Due to its fast growth, it provides shelter for animals, protects water quality, and helps bind topsoil. Bamboo does not need fertilizer or water to grow, and our bamboo has never, ever been fertilized. Therefore, fertilizer has never run into Broad Creek. Our bamboo, when it's in its young stage, has added to our diet through use of bamboo shoots for fiber in our salads. It's an excellent source of nutrition, not only for the ground,
Hello?
Listen to me, but I tell you, I played ball for number 14 Precinct Boys Club. Y'all ain't right, boy, y'all. Y'all ain't right. And we got some hardware. Come on, Mike Bozeman. We got some hardware back in the day. The weight on this thing is probably more than here than any the combined amount of trophies I received. So, man, Minister Jonathan McReynolds, congratulations. Big kudos. Hey, and it comes with a claw so you can wipe my fingerprints off. This is number 17, Stellars. He has two Grammys and four Dove Awards. And I can't stand when he calls me Pops, but when he does things like this, you can call me whatever you want to call me, man. Just know my name. So we're going to have a special prayer for Pastor Tim Bowman tonight. Because Pastor Tim Bowman, he has one, and he got it when he was 12. For the best children's album of the year. So we pray for him. Lord, I love Tim Bowman, and if you don't like it, and that's my main man, somebody come and get this. Congratulations again. He just got on the plane.
You're going to build a better future for our youth. We have to listen to them today. We gave young people a safe place to share what they love about Laurel, what challenges they face, and what they want to see in their community. What we heard was clear. Our youth have ideas, dreams, and solutions. They want to be heard, and they want to be a part of creating change. Tonight, we are proud to present the Town of Laurel with a special banner, Creating Our Youth Voice Project. This banner is designed by youth and for youth. Even parts represent the creativity and the voices of our young people. We want to give a special thank you to Will Haynes and Rayshawn Bowden for bringing this vision to life with his incredible sketchwork. This banner isn't just artwork. It is a reminder our young people belong at the table. LLYF is a working towards a larger vision, creating a safe place for youth where young people can have access to mentorships, tutoring, career, and wellness resources, leadership opportunities, creative programs, and positive community experience. Tonight, we are taking a moment to celebrate what that vision begins with listening, partnership, and with our youth. To the young people of Laurel, this is our message to you. We see you, we hear you, your ideas matter, your future matters, and Laurel needs you. I want to say thank you again to Town Council for allowing us to share this moment. Thank you to everyone who believed in us. And again, thank you to Mr. Haynes and Mr. Bowden for creating our banner.
Oh, thank you.
And then this is for the town hall. So this is staying here forever.
Well, we'll take it to all the events.
Yes.
I really want to congratulate Rajane, Operation Owl, because we're about to approach the end of the summer. And we've only had two teen takeovers. And although they're never good news, but in the last 5 or 6 weekends, because of your activities, because of your praying, because of getting involved in the town, because of caring, because of loving where you live, thank you for a safe summer. I just want to say it for you. All right, on that note, I know people are getting hungry. We're going to move along here. So do I hear a motion to adopt the minutes for the July 20th?
No, before we adopt the minutes, Mayor, on July 20th, or the minutes, Town Manager Smith presented the request from Ms. Sharon Artisana from Mayor Council meeting June 15th. Town Manager Smith stated that Ms. Artisana requested at last month's meeting that the May 18th minutes need to be amended to what was typed versus what was verbally stated were different. She also requested that the transcript for her presentation and small exchange be attached to the minutes as well. I made a motion at that time to accept the request to amend the May 18th minutes and to include her transcript and email exchange into the minutes. Mayor Patterson, President of Council Calio, seconded the motion. It was voted 6-0 with one vacancy to do so. What I'm looking for is were the minutes amended, the May 18th minutes, were they amended as voted on to be done?
Yes.
Yes, they were amended.
Okay. Are they posted on the website, the amendments to the minutes? Because I don't see May 18th on the website.
They're posted on there.
Okay, because it doesn't go back to May. It only goes to June.
On the website. Can you look it up real quick? I posted it
long ago. Yeah, the website only goes back to June. That's all I got to say. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Adam.
Lex, we'll look it up later. That's...
Okay. Do I hear a motion to adopt the minutes for July 20th?
So be it.
Do I hear a second, please?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you very much. Now we'll go to the department head reports. James.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
First off, I'd like to give my condolences to Mayor Schwartz.
Thank you.
Yeah, my report, I don't really have a whole lot to add. Just made it quick. See Hopper Street open back up. It's just temporary paving as of right now, so it's not the best looking you'll ever see. But it'll call back to Mr. Hardenberg to request some more funds to do some more ties and stuff there before they do a final paving. We're still moving forward with a lot of our projects. Like I said before, we've submitted 13 NOIs for some water and sewer work. We'll get a top of the week in September for major sewer ones. So we'll see how that pans out. Other than that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Anyone has any questions for James? Okay, we'll move on. Thank you, James. Thank you. All right, with that, we'll go with the code. Dan, please.
Slow month for permits, slowest month since I've been here. We only issued 7 permits, totaling about $1,300 in revenue, cost value of about $56,000. There were 144 new activities, including 91 rental inspections and 53 brass letters. There were 2 rubbish letters, 1 stop over, and by the end of this month, there's an active demolition order on 165 Delaware Avenue.
Anyone has any questions for Code, please? Thank you, Dan. Now we'll go to item in court. Judge Ruffin.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening. Council. You have my report. I don't have anything to add. If you have any questions, I will be glad to answer.
Anyone has any questions for the item in court? Thank you, gentlemen and lady. Okay, we'll move on with, well, Melissa's not here, so we'll pass on to Captain Tyler.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Pleasure cover for Chief Priscilla tonight. We have his report. I did want to add that we did finish up our Youth Police Academy last week. We dedicated a week out bringing 14 young women and children, men and women came in. So DSP Aviation came out, the Fire Department, Division of Alcohol and Tobacco Enforcement, First Aid, CPR. Brian Boland Center, we partnered with them to do a day with the kids out there, just kind of expose them to law enforcement and just get them involved with the community. It was a great success, and just thank you for supporting that program every year that you guys do.
Thank you so much, Captain. Anyone has any questions for LPD? Thank you. Jamie, I won't forget
Mayor,
you.
Council, you have my report in front of you. I just want to, on the Main Street assessment, we continue to work on that meeting via Zoom with Teresa on a monthly basis. So we're looking at probably December-ish, January, before she comes back with her report on how we should move forward with the Main Street program, her recommendations. So we continue to move forward on that. And that's all I really have. Oh, on the shoreline stabilization for Genasset Park, I have talked to the engineer today. That is being held up in the Army Corps permitting. So we are trying to pull together a meeting with them so we can get that moving forward ASAP.
Thank you. Anyone has a question for?
Yeah, I do have a couple of questions for Jamie. Jamie, you have that you continue work with the developer for the development residential property located on Central Avenue and the same developer for developing property on Discount Land Road. Do you have any other information that you could add on to where they are in that process, both in the one on Discount Land Road and Central Avenue?
They have, the one on Discount Land Road, they've come before us with their concept plan. And they are working on getting funding in place. I know they have some maintenance, we'll say, kind of issues they want to work out as far as who's going to take care of the streets and the infrastructure. And then on the one down on Central Avenue, we met with them probably about a month and a half ago just to verify a few things with their engineer. One of the people that was working on that passed away, so it's kind of slowed their project up a little bit.
The other one was you have the stated that you're currently working with putting together a meeting with the local and state level officials pertaining to commercial development between Bargain Bills and Nanticoke Immediate Care. You stated in there that a housing development was proposed on the other side of 13, has received all their approvals in the soil conservation, which they're working on. What development is that?
That's behind Exxon.
Oh, the one behind Exxon?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And where are they at with that? They're just waiting on the soil conservation?
Yes.
Right. I have a question, if possible. I mean, you have all these meetings with these different developers and stuff. How do I get to join in on these meetings?
To be quite frank, the developers don't normally want to meet with the elected officials until it's time. They like to meet with the staff and
okay, no, it was just a question because I see all this going on, and I have a lot of questions.
There may be some that, especially the one with the McDonald's, where we may need to have some future meetings and have some support from our local elected officials, but working with the developer on that, he's asked that we hold off on that right now.
Okay. And there's one thing I'd really like to thank you for. I see in your report this month, you added in the end, open matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's very helpful to follow matters as they go along. I like seeing that, and I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right. With that, we'll go to old business. Town Manager Smith, please.
You got to accept the reports.
Oh, my bad. Okay, Lars, we had a second on that. Although, do I hear a motion to accept the reports, department head reports, please? Do I hear a second, please? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. Okay, thank you. We'll go on to the old business. Town Manager Smith, please.
Yes, sir. Under zoning ordinance updates, if you recall, probably about, I'd say 6 months ago, Mayor and Council, we were awarded a grant through Delaware State Housing Authority to do some zoning reform for accessory dwelling units. So we continue to work on that with the Rossi Group. That is just one part of it. And then in the budget, Mayor and Council put funds in there to update our zoning ordinance, which is about 21 years old. There's been some updates through it throughout, but it needs a complete rewrite. So I am working with the Rossi Group to get a proposal on that. It looks like some of it may not cost us, fingers crossed, as much as we originally anticipated, because DSHA may take over and help pay for some of that, since it all does with our zoning and can coincide with the pilot program that they're working on. So I'll keep you updated on where we stand with that. I do believe that I sent you each out an email maybe about a month ago to start reviewing the zoning ordinance and certain things in there that you have concerns with, questions, like to see updated. Just start making a list because there will be meetings that we have with the Rossi Group to do that. There'll be public meetings as well where the public will have their input. But we're looking at probably September, probably October, before we are even have our first public meeting on that.
Thank you, Jamie. All right. So
under old business, sir.
Say again.
May I, under old business? The last meeting, Chief Casella said that he attended the meeting in the AG's office pertaining to the pop-up parties, and that he asked Representative Short and Dukes to present a letter. And we had asked, I had asked, if we can draft a letter to be used for the citizens to send to legislators. Jamie, you said you were going to draw.
I have a letter drafted. There's not been anyone request a copy or request one to send. from any citizens.
I was waiting for you to let me know they were drafted so I could get them out there for the citizens to sign.
Yeah,
you do have one?
I have them, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to new business. Right, do I hear a motion to nominate Doug as our new council, Ward 1 councilman? Do I hear motion?
Done.
Do I hear a second?
I'd like to make a point of order. I see, you know, according to our charter, we do not need to take a vote to bring in a new candidate for the council. The charter states that, and I'm not sure how it's supposed to go. It says that with the advice and consent of the council, that the mayor, you know, we could bring on a new member of the council. I just need to say before we take the vote that I need to abstain my consent, as I do not know anything about the candidate. I asked to meet with him and was informed that there was not enough time to do so. I don't feel I can, in good conscience, consent for or against the candidate. So I will abstain from this vote.
Okay, thank you. All right, do I have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Thank you. So with that, Doug.
To carry out the responsibility of the office of Councilman Ward 1
of the town of Global Delaware. To the best of my ability, freely acknowledging that the powers of this office flow from the people I am privileged to represent. I further swear
always to place
the public interest above any special
or personal interest
and to respect the right of future generations
to share the rich historic
and natural heritage of Delaware. In doing so,
I will uphold and defend the Constitution
of the United States,
the Constitution and laws of the State of Delaware,
and the town charter of the town of Laurel. So help me God. Subscribed and sworn this day, 17 August, 2026. Congratulations. It's already started. Yes.
What do you know next week?
Doug has been coming to several of the meetings over the past almost a year, and we've had several conversations and long conversations, and he seemed to be a very caring fella, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for people who want to roll up their sleeves and work, you know? And welcome. And if you have any words to say, please express them now.
Thank you for this opportunity to serve the whole town, but specifically Ward 1. I will do the best I can on your behalf. What I don't have in mental power, I'll try to do in physical power.
All right. Okay, now finally, we'll go to the consideration of reading ordinance 2026-4, chapter 92, licenses. Town Manager Smith, please.
Mayor and Council, before you have ordinance 2026-4, which is chapter 92, licenses as it relates to rental license. It would allow for an exemption of a rental license for anyone who is renting to their parent, child, sibling without any monetary rent. If approved, I have also drafted to go with it, not as part of the ordinance, but the application that would be required to be completed by the applicant themselves, which would be the property owner.
And this. All right. Do I hear a motion to adopt the first reading?
Sir, before we make that motion, I feel that there's a paragraph on page 2. Proof of relationship is not required when town manager or code enforcement has personal knowledge of the relationship and determines in their reasonable judgment that the relationship is known without a reasonable doubt. I don't believe that any one person should be able to circumvent the process of proving that somebody is entitled to this than anyone else.
I don't understand the point.
Well, it just says that everybody else has to prove who they are, how to relate it in order to get exempt from the license. And but it also states that if you know the town, if the town manager or code enforcement know you and are on a personal basis with you and know that you are a sibling or a family member, that you don't have to go through the process. And I don't think anybody should be exempt from going through the process.
No, it doesn't. It says they don't have to provide the proof. They still have to go through the application process. But if you want to take that out, I don't care.
Like I said, I just don't see why one person should have to show proof and another person.
I think Dan has a comment on that, please. Right. There you go.
So, I mean, take it out. I don't care. It's not going to change the ordinance. It is what it is.
What wording would you like there?
I would just like it removed. Why should one person have the oversay of
so take out that whole.
Yeah, it's just a paragraph that gives somebody the right to oversee the requirements.
I make a motion that we accept ordinance 2026-4 minus the second paragraph on the second.
Second. Do I hear second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Okay. All right. Finally, we're going to go to the mayor and council's comments.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll reflect in the application.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. We're going to go ahead and put the rookie on the spot. Doug, mayor and council's comments.
I already spoke once. So
that's why we put you on the spot. Okay. Rajanay.
I definitely want to say thank you, Precious, and Dee for coming out, Ms. Denora, everybody who was there and a part of the Youth Voices Project. We have so many more that we're looking forward to host. We have a lot of video footage that Precious, Dee, and I are going through, and we have to edit and make it a big movie. That's what our goal is. If you were on Facebook today, you kind of saw a little teaser. That's what that was. But we are going to work it out, and you guys will have a long video of what the youth want, what the adults want, what we can do better, what we can keep going with. So that's all I have to say. And thank you, everyone, for coming out. Thank you to all our department heads, as well as mayor and council.
Rajanay, I can't express enough that you're really taking the bull by the horn. Thank you. All right, Councilman Lodato, please.
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you for the presentation from the Laurel Legacy Youth Foundation. It was a great job you guys are doing. And Precious, you're getting better every time you stand up at that podium, I think. I know we had a couple of backpack events this weekend. I attended the two. I attended the one at Fisher Park, and that was a really good one. There must have been 25 youths there getting backpacks. They had a jumpy house. They had food, and they had a good turnout for that one. And I did stop in on the one on 13, and know there was some issues going over there, but I did wind up getting a couple backpacks for some of the people over at Little Creek that couldn't make it. I want to thank the town code enforcement officer, James. You guys are doing a great job out there. It can be seen. And again, Jamie, you know, for the changes that you're making in the reports are really showing up. They're really showing up and they're impressive. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman Nadaro. Councilman Calio.
Nothing this evening.
Thank you, sir. Councilman Jonathan Keller.
I'm going to take up some of his time.
Okay. He's standing on his soapbox.
I don't know if some know about it. A couple months ago, my brother passed away. So if anyone,
sorry to hear that.
And everyone that any condolences and things, I thank you. It kind of put me kind of sideways, you know, he's my dude, you know. So, but life goes on. We're going to keep going on. Everyone that's here, I appreciate you coming out. Appreciate you seeing it fuller in here. I mean, there's so many years when it was three people, and I can name, you know, so for about 8 years that would be here. And it makes it good to see folks and to come with ideas and stuff. Our staff, you're always doing the best you can. I appreciate you. Thanks for coming back, Judge, again, seeing you. And Mr. Doug, I met Mr. Doug in church a few weeks ago. And him and his family approached and we talked. And I'm going to tell you, I know where his heart is, and his wife has been knowing for years and years. So welcome aboard, and I can say that I do know you, because when we talked about how God is and what we must do for this town, I'm excited about what we're going to do for this town. Might not be long for it, but we'll do it as long as we can. I appreciate everything. Backpacks were great. Roger Day, your event was great. Miss Sessoms gave away what, 100 yes. some 100
oh, yeah.
something. Some backpacks out on the highway. They gave backpacks, but I didn't make it down Roger Sheet. My wife got the chicken that I got from you, Jamie, out there for the Bulldogs. She ate that. So it's been busy. It's been busy, but it's all good. Thank you, and thank you for coming out.
Councilman Bo.
Doug Board. Thank you. I'll be looking forward to working with you.
Okay.
All right.
Likewise.
Well, I'm just going to echo a little bit of this summer alone, I've probably counted about roughly anywhere between minimum 20, maximum 35 events throughout the town. And it goes to show that it's a town that loves and cares. And that's the most important thing. The most important thing in any administration that comes aboard is to build as much relationships as you can, so that we build a coalition that pushes in the same direction. And that's time consuming, you know. And over the course of the last 16, 17 months, you're talking about maybe over 100 meetings, you know, running from place to place, those things of that nature, learning the job, flying the plane while I'm building it in many respects, but so much support and love from the community. You know, Denora, I have to put you on the spot. She sent me a text the other day that sent me into tears a little bit, because I am an emotional person. And I don't mind showing my mother's side, because we are half female. And I accept that as a man. But it buoyed me, because it's not always a fun job. Because everyone has, you know, as Jonathan says, sometimes people have enough information to just set off a fire and not realize that there's more depth to things. It's not as easy as it being a surface. And if you're only looking for surface, then you'll always find something wrong. I am of the mindset that I believe in the glass being half full, because I can't stay motivated if it's always half empty. I can't do it. No one should do it. So we should always look at the small incremental victories that this town is trying to do, and all the organizations that have been doing things to keep our kids safe. Those are things that's God's work. And, you know, where it's easy to point out the bad things and, you know, the things that we're not doing right and the things that we ought to be at. Yes, that's easy. What is hard is to put it together and maintain a motivation and a drive and a spirit that allows you to see your vision and just try to follow it through to the best of your extent. To the best of your extent. And that's what I believe every person here does, every person out there does, even those who are concerned about very serious things. I respect that because that's how you learn. You don't learn because everyone agrees with you. You learn because you try to see every point of view. That's how you learn. And I'm never a person who refused to learn. And that's important to me. So it's emotional sometimes because, you know, you read certain things and you're constantly being attacked and it becomes personal. And in some cases, I hate to say it and I don't want to start a firestorm, but, you know, some of the comments are like, come on, can we at least be decent people to one another? After all, we live in the same town. We live in the same town. You know, person volunteers to do something to help out. You know, take time from their families, energies, from the things you like to do. That comes with the territory. I understand that. But it would be nice. It would be nice if we just once in a while all recognize that we all have a hand in this. Every last one of us. When I see Operation Owl out there every Thursday, when I see Roger and they do what they do, when I see the council people walk out to all the events, that tells me there's love in this town. There's support in this town. So I want to thank the ARC for what they did. Of course, the One Laurel that continues to do wonderful things here. I mentioned there are about 40 events this summer alone. So there's always something kicking in our beautiful town. Always something good in our town. And that's what I'm going to look at, what's good. Doesn't mean I'm blind to what's bad, but I won't let the bad drain me and knock me back. Because we have to move forward. So I say, never get discouraged. Keep fighting because your harvest will come. And many hands make the work easier. Many hands. You roll up your sleeves and you do the hardship with us. And we'll get the town where it needs to be. Not overnight. What administration in 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 months, 10 months fixes things? Where? Where's that a reality? Not anywhere I've been. I've walked the planet 67 years. I want to thank the Gibson Block Party. Thank you, Cheryl, for every year putting that out there. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. The kids loved it. Everyone was dancing that day, right? Yeah, she had a dance instructor. Anyway. I just want to thank everybody. So with that, I know we've been here quite a while. We'll go ahead with the citizens' comments, and I'll start the 3 minutes for anyone who would like to get up and make a comment. Hey, Dan. How are you, Don?
Mr. D. I'm going to try to speed through this 3 minutes.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to hit you at the three, but
gotcha. Ready? Anyway, I spoke with Jamie this week about the Flock camera system that we're installing in town. I'm a proponent. Very supportive of it. There's actually a camera system going up on my property. That being said, for those who don't know about Flock cameras, you know, it has tag reading capability and visual capability. And it is a great tool for our community and especially for law enforcement getting their job done. I made a copy for the council and whoever else may want one. I got a few copies about the system. And there's been some controversy associated with it, if you've seen it in the media. But I said to Jamie, I said, we need to get ahead of the controversy to make sure that we as a community and law enforcement does everything possible and take everyone's tool that is using it. There's 20 municipalities in Delaware right now using the tool, and they all like the tool. I'm a member of the PAC committee for Lake Forest. They all use the tool, and they're doing very well, and it helps law enforcement, it helps the citizens. And it's a great tool for our community to hopefully send a message to the folks that shouldn't be here. And if they are here, then they're probably going to be faced with Captain and his team. That being said, pop-up parties, as it relates to this community and other communities, I don't know whether you folks are taking that seriously, but I certainly hope so. I know law enforcement is. We happened to bump into a pop-up party on our way back from Cambridge, and law enforcement's probably aware of it. I believe it was the 8th. It was Saturday night, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before. I said, what is this? It was directly on, I'm going to call it Seaford Hurlock Road. Mm-hmm. What is that, 16? Anyway, we came up on it, the B&G pickle plant. The parking lot was full. It was about 9:45, full. Mm-hmm. The pop-up party was in the neighborhood across the street. The roadway, because there's not any shoulder to speak of, was at least a half mile in either direction lined with cars. Mm. The estimates, from what I understand, were 800 people showed up for this pop-up party. There was an understanding of some gun that was discharged. Mm-hmm. Law enforcement was overwhelmed. I saw four officers there. I don't know what they could have done. Mm-hmm. So my point is, you know, this pop-up thing needs to be addressed by mayor and council and their legal team quickly, be an ordinance that says everything you can put in it, that we're not going to have them here. And if you do come here, then of course you're going to be met with all the tools of our community, from fines to arrest to everything. And I think that's what happened. I heard that Rehoboth, the attorney general, discharged the three arrests. And because I'm guessing because there wasn't an ordinance to prevent it. But anyway, that being said, and hey, look, you guys are amazing. This team here, all the way around here, that is working to keep this community in the good light that it is. And I see it firsthand. But anyway, moving forward, real quick, Laurel Public Advisory Commission. I strongly recommend something along those lines, you know, to number one, evaluate current fees contained in the Laurel City Ordinance. Compare findings to other towns and cities on the Eastern Shore. Evaluate current construction fees and contributions to increasing city revenues. You know, hear public complaints, comments, recommendations, report to council and or appropriate departments. Evaluate and recommend city expenditures to the mayor's council. The body would take input, ask questions, make recommendations, and forward to mayor and council and appropriate department. Should help alleviate long council sessions and enhance working of city government. Assist with oversight and cost-saving accommodations, as well as additional revenues. Help prepare mayor and council prior to meetings with agenda topics that may come up. In other words, a step prior to mayor and council. Make recommendations to mayor and council on ways to improve our city workforce, making sure that Laurel does everything possible to attract and retain qualified professional employees. Laurel's a wonderful place to live. Let's keep the good work moving forward. Hopefully, citizens, employees, and visitors will appreciate the continued town of Laurel growth and improvement. And in conclusion, as a small business owner of 50 years this year, I understand the challenges of my world. Having served on planning and zoning commissions and currently on one, not this one, for the town of Ellendale, I understand for 30 years, I understand the needs and complexities of government. Let's together move our wonderful city in the continued path of being the most admired and great place to live, conduct business, and raise our families. I strongly suggest mayor and council consider a commission such as that.
You have a copy of that?
Yes, sir. Okay. I've got copies of that. But anyway, and you know, that it should be made up of business owners, council representation, public works, community members, and code enforcement, so that you know, it can get the job better. So
okay. Thank you.
Sorry if I went over on the 3 minutes. So I apologize.
We gave you an extra two. Is there anyone else? Yes, Cheryl. He might have taken two of your minutes, but I'm on it.
No, I just wanted to thank everyone who supported St. Matthew's First Baptist Church with our Vacation Bible School and our block party. And I had a lot of, and a block party was on the same day as the funeral of our former mayor. So I know a lot of people who would have wanted to come could not be there. However, we got a lot of support from a lot of the council members. Jonathan Kellum made our hot dogs and our hamburgers. And you're right, we were out there dancing in the street. And so I just want to thank all of them. The mayor for his help and the council members and all of the citizens. We had a great time, and I thank you for supporting us.
Thank you, Cheryl. All right, finally, is there anyone else? Finally.
Yes.
Okay. Miss Ann Handy. Yes. Hold on a second.
Just quickly as well, just kind of ditto and what Cheryl said, want to thank everyone. George Lodato for coming for our Friday with friends. Very good turnout with our kids, our Crystal and Ryan, for your support. We had probably about 30 kids each Friday. We had our Project Rise, our Men of Purpose. That was throughout the summer job shadowing stipend program, 15 boys dedicated. And we followed up with our Camp for Christ, 4-day skills clinic, basketball clinic. Had about 50 kids. Justin Davis, got a shout out to him. Just community coming out, just supporting us. So it was a summer for youth like you wanted. So thank you all for your support.
Melody Davis, West 6th Street. One quick question. It's probably for Jamie more so than the entire council, but back in June, 3 years ago, there was a public hearing for the Laurel Glen multifamily unit apartment complex, I guess.
To make is that the good neighborhoods?
Yeah, to be built. And I just wanted to get an update on that. It's been that's, 3 years.
Yeah, that's the one Councilman Lodato actually was asking about across from the school. So I know they had to get some of their final funding in place.
Okay.
And then one of their main members that was handling that passed away. So it's kind of, they're still working towards it, but they're trying to replace that one person.
And I know during that public hearing, there was a lot of conversation because I was one of the people adding my 2 cents worth about the fact that they kind of surprised the planning committee at that point in time that a certain percentage of the units they had applied for Section 8.
Rental assistance.
Yes. But I don't think, I was trying to find the information. I don't think that he had a final say on that. That they had applied for it, and he didn't have a final number on the percentage of the total number of units that would be. Have you gotten an update from them yet?
No, because they're not to that point yet.
They're not. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I know, I can't remember what I had for dinner last night, so I'm trying to go. I want to say there was only so many. It was a percentage. I can't remember what it was, but it was only going to be, I think, a small number of the units, if I remember correctly, but I have to go back and look.
Okay. And I could not find the minutes, just so you know. I even asked my friend ChatGPT because I can't think without.
Yeah, if they were 3 years ago, they're probably off. I mean, if you want copies, I can. Yeah,
okay. Because I wanted to come informed and I couldn't find. Yeah.
James, did you have something?
I've never really been paying attention to stuff. A lot of questions were asked about how they were going to make sure the people that worked there were qualified. I think that was one of the stipulations that they put on, and they kind of got a little bit of that, but they pretty much hammered it home that you're going to do it every 6 months.
Every 6 months, yeah.
These people are working, it is only a family member, and they need to help them.
Yeah.
Do they have to have Section 8, so-called Section 8?
They don't have to, but we have no say of whether they can or can't do that. They're entitled to do that under fair housing without we cannot say you cannot do that.
Well, in the town of Laurel, don't we have our so-called?
No, sir.
You can tell them best how to.
That's under fair housing, under federal laws. Exactly. We cannot tell people they cannot get Section 8.
Okay, if we don't have anyone else, do I have a motion to adjourn our meeting tonight? Do I have a second?
Sure.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Everyone have a good night. Thank you.
Here. Can we get a picture of
that? Bring the young, come on over. You're going to take a picture.